I'm Lieutenant Joe Pangaro. I've been a cop for 27 years. I like to say I got a backstage pass to life. Well, guess what? I got some tickets for you. So come on in, pull up a chair, turn up that volume, and let's go. Chasing Justice is on.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to Chasing Justice here in the America Out Loud Radio Network. I'm your host, Lieutenant Joe Pangaro, and I'm ready for another fantastic get-together. So a couple of things that I wanted to talk about today that are on my mind. You know, this continuing round and round about Joe Biden and his sons, the phone calls the president made to Ukraine, to the president of Ukraine, his shout-outs to China to investigate. All of this has to be put into context, and that's what I'd like to do today. Before we're going to get to that, though, I want to tell you a little celebration we're doing here in Chasing Justice Land. My company, True Security Design, we are providers of safety and security training and threat assessments for schools, businesses, religious facilities, just about any place people get together. We won an award this past week, which I thought was really great, from the Violence Intervention and Prevention Specialists of New Jersey, a group that provides a lot of help to any group, women's groups, children's groups, inner city groups, anybody that's looking for assistance with violence to turn violence around. And True Security Design was awarded the Best School Safety and Security Solutions for urban and suburban schools. So we're very, very proud of that. It was a very interesting event. There were people there. There were 15 other recipients of awards, and some of them, just the things that they had done were just so amazing that, you know, you sit there and you're humbled, first of all, to be getting an award, all right, for somebody to recognize what you do and say what you do has value is humbling to begin with. But then when you sit in a room with the people I sat in a room with, and you are humbled even further that you say to yourself, what am I even doing here compared to the things these people have done? There was a police chief. I believe he was retired out of Newark, New Jersey. And about 15 years ago, he told his story that he had found himself after a good friend of his, a police officer, committed suicide, that he found himself questioning his own motivation to go forward with life. He found himself, as he said, in a very dark place where he thought he might commit suicide himself. And he reached out to an organization called Cop to Cop. And the person on the other end was a law enforcement officer that was there specifically to talk to cops when they're having problems. And he talked to this officer, and he credited that conversation with saving his life. Well, once he got himself turned around, he decided the best thing he could do was give back to the community by becoming a counselor at Cop to Cop. And he got his award because he's been doing this for many, many years, and is credited with saving the lives of hundreds of police officers who also found themselves in a very dark place, contemplating taking their own lives. And this guy was great and talked them out of it, helped them to get help, and it was really wonderful. And that was the kind of people that was there. There's a baseball league here, the Roberto Clemente Youth Baseball League. It is totally unfunded. There's no government funding, no state funding, nothing like that. It's a completely volunteer organization. And the men and women who run that organization do it so that the kids in the communities that are underserved by lots of other things have an opportunity to play an organized game of baseball in a field where they can learn sportsmanship, camaraderie, they can feel good about them. Really a wonderful, wonderful group. And you know, there are groups like this all over, and how much do we volunteer? How much do we help? You know, so to be sitting in a room with people like this that had done such wonderful things was an awesome feeling to see that there's other human beings out there doing these great things. But it was humbling to be in that same room with them. So I want to thank Donna Roman Hernandez, who was he's the president of VIPS, and all of her people on her board who decided that school safety and security was important enough to give an award to True Security Design, because that is, like I say all the time, we have dedicated our company to keeping your kids safe, keeping everybody safe in any facility that we go to look at. And I personally, I've made it my passion to do this because I've been blessed that I have the opportunity to go out and try and help people. So thank you, Donna. I know you're listening. It was a wonderful event, and all those people that were there were fantastic. So it really felt good to see all that. I had another thing I'm going to get to before I get to our politics rundown of the day. I recently had the opportunity to go to Key West, Florida. Okay? I love Key West, Florida. It is absolutely beautiful. I love all the Keys. They're really a gorgeous place. If you've never been there, I'm going to suggest that you go. You know, we visit, you know, places around us where we live, and a lot of us, you know, you say, oh, we're going to go to Europe, we're going to go to Ireland, and go to Italy, to some of the great places in the world to go see. But there are so many places right here in the United States of America that we don't go to see. And Key West is really a gem. The Florida Keys are gorgeous physically. They're easy to get to, and it's kind of inexpensive when you think about it, of how to get there. So what I did is my father-in-law, Ted and I, we flew down to Miami, which is really a vibrant city. I don't know if you've been there. If you haven't been there in a long time, go to Miami. It's really a fun place also. We flew down to Miami. We rented a car from there, and we drove down. Now, it's about a 3.5-hour ride down to the Keys, to Key West from Miami, but it is a beautiful ride. I mean, relaxation, you got the sun shining, you got the azure blue water, you got the mangroves as you're going through, and then there's all these little keys along the way, these little islands that you can stop at, and they have every amenity you could possibly want. There's hotels, there's all kinds of restaurants, gas stations. You know, it's not remote like it used to seem, you know, back in the day. I was there, geez, when was I there? 1981? I went down there in 1981, and it was much slower paced than it is currently. It was a lot more laid back, but it was just as beautiful. And my wife Kathleen and I and my son Jack, we took a trip down there with Marisa Joy. She was looking at colleges. She was looking at, I think, Atlantic Coast College in Florida, near Palm Beach. So we flew down there so that we could see, you know, see some of these schools in Florida. There's some great schools in Florida. And while we were there, Marisa had to come back to go finish some high school projects. So we sent her on a plane and flew her home, where she got herself back to school. But Kathleen, Jack, and I decided to take a ride down to the Keys. And this was 2017, I think. So we got in a car and we drove down there, and Key West was so mobbed with people, we couldn't move around. We physically could not find parking. It was really, compared to the time I had been there previously, 30 years earlier, it was so packed with people that you couldn't walk. We drove around, and we drove right back off Key West, and we ended up going to the Key next door, to the very one just previous to Key West. And we did a mangrove kayak trip, which I got to tell you, if you like nature and you want to get out there and do something, this kind of stuff is what they do down there in Key West. There's so much outdoor activity to do. The weather is usually gorgeous. The water temperature is 80-something degrees, so swimming is absolutely great. It's crystal clear water. There's all kinds of wildlife everywhere. And I'm not doing a commercial for Florida. I'm just telling you, if you want to go somewhere, Key West and the Keys, the Florida Keys, are absolutely fantastic. You can fly into Miami, Fort Lauderdale, rent a car, take the ride. It's a nice ride down. Or you can fly right into Key West, which is a little bit more expensive, and it's sometimes a little more arduous. There are not always direct flights. You have to lay over in places, but really a great time. So we went there 30 years ago. We had a great time. We went in 2017, and it was packed because now there's cruise ships down there. So when I went this time, I was concerned. What was it going to be like? Well, this is the off-season, it's considered. This is the off-season, and it was not packed at all, but there was lots of people there on vacation. Now, when I looked at my weather, you know, you got the weather on your phone. What's it going to be like? I'm going to Key West. This is going to be great. And it showed cloudy and overcast and raining every single day. And I was a little disappointed. Now, I was taking my father-in-law down for a wedding, He had a wedding to go to, so I took him down there, and I was, okay, well, I guess it'll be rainy and cloudy for 5 days while we're there, and we'll just deal with it and, you know, do the right thing, get popped down to his wedding and come home. Well, what I found out is when you go down there, yeah, it's rainy and cloudy. That's their forecast, but that can be, you know, for 10 minutes or 3 hours during the day. And what we found is almost every single day, it rained overnight for 15, 20 minutes. Sometimes during the day, it got all cloudy and you say, oh, that's the end of the day. Next thing you know, boom, the sun breaks out and it was beautiful for the rest of the day. So we had absolutely gorgeous weather for the all 5 days that we were there, even though it was the off season. It was not overcrowded. The beaches were, you know, were beautiful. The water was gorgeous. And I really, really enjoyed myself. So Duval Street is the big street you always hear about, you know? It's like this main street where there's all these restaurants and bars and cigar shops and tinker toy shops and all these things you can get. And if the closer you go to the water, the more touristy it kind of gets. The further back on Duval Street you go, closer to that monument, you know, everybody's seen pictures of that monument they have there, 90 miles to Cuba. Well, that's kind of where my hotel was right there. So we were up at that end and totally local stuff, like people who live there go to those bars. And one night I went out and I was just taking a walk around. Pop decided he's going to go to bed. He's tired. So I took a hoof around and I got myself a beautiful cigar and I found this great bar with a porch right on Duval Street. And I sat on the porch with an adult beverage and I enjoyed my cigar and I watched the world go by. It was really fantastic. And I did think of all of you in Chasing Justice Land. I thought I would like to do a show live from there to talk about some of those things, especially seeing, you know, Cuba only 90 miles away. So I can't help but try and fit these things in sometimes. I was sitting there. I actually did I tweeted out the other day on my Twitter account, at Pangaro Global. I was thinking, it was a pretty funny thought, listening to the politics of our friends on the left and, you know, all the socialism that they're offering us. And I said, for years and years and years, somebody would stand at that monument in Key West and say, you know, Cuba is 90 miles away. You know, the communists are over there 90 miles away. And then to think, gee, actually, the communists are here already. You know, they're already here with us. They're running for president openly right now. It was a pretty strange feeling to realize that in, you know, even in the 2 years since I had been down there last, to stand at that monument and realize, well, the communists are no longer across that 90-mile stretch of water. They're now right here openly with us, running for office. They're calling themselves Democrat Socialists, but anybody with a brain and an understanding of history knows where that goes very, very quickly, should you vote for that kind of thing. So anyway, so that was my trip down to Key West. I want to talk about that a little bit because that was a lot of fun. I did enjoy myself with my father-in-law. You know, taking care of an elderly relative is not an easy thing to do. I'm very, very fortunate in that my father-in-law is mobile. He can walk around. I mean, he can keep up with anybody. He golfs every day. He's 86 years old. So this guy golfs all the time. So he really can get around pretty good. But I know a lot of people don't have that situation. And the reason I'm bringing this up is because I did juxtapose my situation with some friends of mine who have elderly parents who are not as mobile, who are not as mentally fresh as they once were. And it's very, very difficult. And I think what we need to do is have that conversation. See, I don't know where this is just a free-form thought. I'm here with you today, starting the afternoon off. These things that run through my head is that we have to, you know, if you have friends that have elderly parents or if your parents are elderly, make sure you get some help, right? Don't try and do this all on your own. There's lots of people that can help. I'll give you an afternoon off because there really is a thing of caretaker burnout, right? And I mention that because you hear about it once in a while, but it's not something that people bring up. It's not something everybody always wants to talk about. If it doesn't affect you, you don't really think about it. But when it does, it can be life-altering. It can really be devastating to the caretakers. So if you know somebody who's out there and they're having a hard time, pitch in. You know, help out for an afternoon if you can. Take the person to lunch. Let them have an afternoon off. It's all I'm saying. You know, that's what we try and do. We try and do the right thing here. My final couple of thoughts, as I'm going to circle back around to the awards thing from VIPS, the violence group that Donna Hernandez runs. One of the things I was struck by, and pleasantly struck by, that I thought about, again, I thought about all of you out there in Chasing Justice Land. This room was populated by people from every walk of life, from every race, every religion, every different kind of people that live in our country were represented in this room. And everyone was getting along so well. It was great. I could not help but sit there and say, if the whole country, the whole world could get along the way everybody in this room is getting along, how much better everything would be. I mean, everybody was so respectful to each other. It was fun to hear about people's different stories, to see all these different people, interact with everybody. It would be wonderful if that could be replicated across our entire country. So that's something that I'm trying harder and harder as I move along through this journey of life to figure out how do we bring people together? How do we do this? You know, our Democrat friends running for president are talking about, bring everyone together. I'm the person to bring the country together. But then they turn around and disparage half of us, and they hate half of us, and they call us names, and they call us deplorables, and they say we're no good, and they want to take everybody's money. And they want to, penalize people and put everybody in jail that doesn't agree with them. And, you know, how is that bringing people together? You know, how does their message bring people together? And sitting in that room with all of these wonderful people from all different backgrounds, it was enjoyable. So I guess that's the bottom line here of segment one. There was quite a few things that happened that were enjoyable for Lieutenant Joe. In the bigger picture world. And I try and see that bigger picture and boil it down to my own life and say, where do I fit in this beautiful tapestry of life? You know, where do I fit into that? Am I doing the right things as best as I can? You know, I think in my professional life, I'm trying to help people. I'm trying to save lives. I'm trying to do a lot of stuff. In my personal life, trying to be a good steward of my world, to show respect to my God and to my family and to my friends. I'm trying. It's a struggle for all of us. But I think if we consciously attempt to do these things, we'll all be better off. You know, the guys in the neighborhood, they are some of the most decent people you ever want to meet from all kinds of different backgrounds. And we all get along. You know, doing the radio show brought them together. And now those guys are friends. Their wives are friends with each other. It's really been a great example of how you can bring people together. So I want to talk about that. Let's end our segment one here together on that note. Think about how do we bring people together instead of driving people apart. All right? We'll be back in a minute with Chasing Justice Round 2 here on the America Out Loud Radio Network.
Spreading the out loud truth from sea to shining sea. AmericaOutloud.com is the voice of liberty and justice for all. The goal is to deliver a message of truth, inspiration, and hope to the world. To unite people from all backgrounds and beliefs in an effort to advance humanity. We are the vision of the voices. Welcome to the new era in communications. America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Welcome back, my friends, to Chasing Justice. I'm your host, Lieutenant Joe Pangaro, and here we go with round two. Ding, 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 ding. Ring that bell. All right, so in round one there, we kind of took a whirlwind ride through Lieutenant Joe's house with some different thoughts that were going on here. You know, we can't always be heavy duty. You can't just, every minute with this politics, it'll drive you crazy. And the reason it drives you crazy, I think especially for a lot of people here on America Out Loud Network, is because we do not see things any way that I don't want to say our opponents, but or our adversaries, but our friends on the left. We don't see the world the way they see the world. We don't operate under the same belief systems, and it's very frustrating to see them doing the things that they're doing, especially this Adam Schiff, this congressman, and his intelligence committee, and which is pretty funny, right? That's like one of those oxymorons. You know, Adam Schiff is on the intelligence committee when you listen to the guy. But we can't always just hang on this constant, never-ending roller coaster ride, because the media that's out there, the big media that's out there, are clearly all to the left. They clearly are anti-Donald Trump. It doesn't matter what the guy does. You know, if he was to, sneeze tomorrow, it would be, Trump purposely spreads germs to hurt people or whatever. They always take the negative side of anything that he does. And so do all these TV news programs that are on, especially these lefty CNNs and MSNBCs and all. It's unbelievable how they can see the exact same thing that you and I might see and see it completely differently. Now, I think some of it has to be faked. And I don't mean like they're making up their stories. I mean, some of their opinions have to be fake too, because I can't imagine that people are that stupid. And I hate to say a thing like that, but I can't imagine people are that stupid to not be able to differentiate between situations when they see it and make a reasonable conclusion. Speaking specifically of Joe Biden and his sons. Now, this has been raging on for weeks now. This never-ending attack on Trump for bringing this up and his phone call to Ukraine. And did the Biden boys do something? And Joe Biden's out there screaming, this has all been looked at and nobody said. The reason that it's been looked at and nobody said anything about it, Joe, let me remind you, is because you pressured the Ukrainian government to fire the prosecutor who was going after your son. And the investigation ended. And that's why nobody found anything. See, this is the part that's lost in the reporting of this. And that is what's frustrating to all of us. You know, we sit there and we look at this and you say, okay, is it possible that Joe Biden's son, who has no experience in the oil and gas industry, who has no experience in hedge funds, at all. I mean, two really disparate different kind of occupations too, aren't they? But he has no experience in either one of those things. And it just so happens that the countries that his father, the Vice President of the United States, has as part of his job duties to deal with is Ukraine and China. It's okay, not uncommon, I would think, that a family member might go on a trip with the president or the vice president because they're family members. So they jump on the plane and they go with them. And they see the sights when they're at these other countries. But is it out of the realm that this guy would go over there and Joe Biden says, I never spoke to my son about his business deals in Ukraine and China, where his son got on the plane with him and flew over there. And this kid made multi-million dollar deals for himself in businesses that he has no experience whatsoever, under the industries that his father happens to be involved with as the Vice President of the United States. It strains our ability to function in this kind of a market because the press is knocking themselves out to tell us there's nothing here. What Trump did was a crime. There's nothing here. What Biden did, it's what Trump did was a crime. And we have to stop that, and there's no other voice. There's no other voice that we can hear except here on America Out Loud and Chasing Justice and some of the other programs that are on here, sometimes Fox News, where you'll get somebody that, hey, slow down, stop. Let's think about this for a minute. Just on its face, if it was anybody else, would you say to yourself, gee, that seems kind of strange that person with no experience would get millions of dollars out of industries they have nothing to do with it? Wouldn't you say that to yourself? You know, so I'm trying to think of a local thing. All right, so here I am, the local mayor, and a big car dealership wants to put in a brand new car lot on some piece of land that has been undeveloped for many, many years. And you need permits, you need, you need agreements, you know, all the nonsense that we all have to go through with our local governments to build anything. And this car dealer is a big car dealer, right? They have other very established dealerships. They're making a lot of money. They're, you know, very high end. And they want to build this dealership in the town. And the mayor, who has the final say over whether or not they can, you know, whether he can push through the permits for them, because that's what the mayors can do. Well, suddenly, the mayor's son, who is, let's just say, he did real well in high school, kind of bumbled through college and kind of got out, had no direction, didn't know what he's doing. All of a sudden, that kid is going to get a job, at $180,000 a year to be the dealer rep to the, car salesman's group that's there. And all of a sudden, the permits go through and the dealership is built. Now, wouldn't that seem a little strange to you? Wouldn't you say to yourself, well, obviously, we can see what happened here. The guy offered the guy's kid a job for $180,000 and the permits went through. Well, there's a reason we would say that. The reason we would say that is because that's what happens all the time. We see it in all walks of life. Not always is it illegal. Sometimes it's just immoral. Sometimes it's unethical. It's not always illegal. All right. So when we saw what happened with the vice president, Biden, when he's over there dealing with these two countries, and all of a sudden his son doesn't get $180,000, he gets millions and millions of dollars. And the vice president is on TV giving an interview talking about how he demanded that Ukraine fire this prosecutor who was looking into his son. Now, that's where they call, if there's smoke, there's fire. That is something that should have been looked at by the attorney general under President Obama. They should have looked at that and said, whoa, Mr. Vice President, this has the appearance of impropriety. This doesn't look right. This doesn't pass the smell test. You know, what's going on here? It would be one thing if Joe Biden's son got money from a hedge fund, of which he has no experience in Lower Slobovia, where the vice president didn't visit, didn't have any contact with, and the kid made his own contacts, and these people just said, you're the greatest, smartest, most wonderful guy in the world. We're going to give you $1 billion to start a hedge fund. Okay. I would say that would be something kind of out of the purview of what we're looking at now. But because of this reality that, you know, Joe Biden, the vice president, has purview over these two countries where they gave his son lots and lots of money, that's what we call there's smoke, there's probably fire. It should have been investigated in the past. The fact that President Trump now is out there calling for an investigation, there's two things here that make everyone queasy and uncomfortable. The reality, first of all, is that Joe Biden is a potential opponent. He is not his opponent right now. He's a potential opponent for the election in 2020. He could possibly win. And if he did win, then, he would be his opponent. But at the moment, he is not his opponent. I think that's parsing some words. We all know he's running for vice president. He's leading. He very well could be the opponent. The fact that the president, President Trump, is also the number one law enforcement officer as of the executive branch, and he sees corruption by public officials, and he decides to ask a country with which we have an agreement to work on criminal things together, and he asks that president if he could possibly look into this and see what went on here. We saw the tape where the vice president is saying he demanded that this guy be fired. That doesn't seem right, does it? That maybe there was an investigation where his son was going to get in trouble and he shut him down? And then all this money came to the kid? I mean, we can all look at that and say, well, I don't know if he did anything wrong or not, but on face value, it's clearly a potential crime. We need to look at it. We need to look at it very closely. So, is it advantageous to President Trump that the law is in his favor? Is it advantageous to President Trump that he happens to be the president and is the one that can say, hey, I need help in this? Of course it's advantageous to him. But does that make it illegal? It does not. And that's the problem. So we have this obvious situation where we see in front of all our faces this potential corruption on the part of Vice President Biden and his son. Now, I don't know if it's truly corrupt or not. It looks that way, and it should be investigated. Simple as that. You know, people see that things like that all the time, and they go, so what's up with that? We better investigate. You know, but for all of us to sit and see all of this and realize how dirty this looks, but everyone's pretending that it doesn't. Instead, they're going after President Trump for bringing it up when he is covered by law that allows him to ask those questions. And this was one of the things I threw out as a tweet the other day, and I got a kick out of it because I think a lot of people liked it, which I thought was pretty good. And we all like likes, right? Don't we? We like retweets. I put out there, I said, you know, one of the things that burns the left up that they can't stand is watching Donald Trump exercise the authority of the presidency of the United States. It drives them crazy to watch him actually act like a president and do what a president does. Now, there were so many things that President Obama did that bothered so many of us that seemed horrible. Giving $150 billion to Iran of cash on a skid dropped off by a boat, that wasn't bad. That Fast and Furious where they gave guns to cartel members in Mexico that ended up killing some of our law enforcement, and not a word. Not a word from the press. Matter of fact, you're horrible if you're even looking at it because they just turned it around. This is why we are frustrated. This is why we are frustrated. I'm going to follow this up. I had another thought, but I'll get back to that in a second. So now we're hearing the press scream and holler that, well, President Trump is only interested in going after corruption when it's a political enemy of his. Again, is it convenient that this guy, Biden, could be his, Vice President Biden, could be his opponent? Sure, of course it's, of course it is. I'd be lying if I didn't say, of course, that's obvious. But that doesn't mean he's not allowed to exercise presidential authority, even if it's in his benefit. Didn't President Obama do that when he authorized investigations of private citizen candidate Trump? Didn't he do that when he tried to swing the election towards Hillary by having this entire Mueller investigation thing that we had to go through? Right? But why is that okay? And Trump, who's actually using legal authority out in the open, that's not okay. Because it burns them. It makes them, I can imagine, they must kvetch when they see him using presidential authority. I'm sure it makes them absolutely crazy. And it's funny to watch how they react. So the next part of this I wanted to look at. So the press is all now screaming, well, what other corruption have you looked at? Why are you looking at this? Isn't it convenient? Well, the reason he's looking at this is because the press brought up his phone call. They brought up Trump's phone call. They made a big deal out of it. So, of course, it's going to draw his attention to it. And one of the things we all know about President Trump, if you punch him, he's going to punch you back. So he made this phone call. I listened to the transcript from what I've heard people read, the actual transcript, not the Adam Schiff parody where he made up facts, but the actual transcript. And I didn't hear him saying anything that you would think somebody would say, you know, kind of like Joe Biden said, well, you better fire that prosecutor, you ain't getting this money. There's a little quid pro quo, which they keep wanting to throw that term around all over. But I listened to President Trump's words, and I didn't hear any quid pro quo. What I'm saying, hey, could you look into this? Could you take a look at this? You know, this is a problem. And who else would you ask? You would ask the president of that country with which you have an agreement to work on criminal activity together. All right, to investigate it together, to mutually help each other. And again, this must just boil their soup on the left because there's actually a law in place. Has any one of these news shows found that law or that agreement and read it and said, well, listen, it really doesn't look good that Trump did this. It really doesn't, I don't know, pass the smell test. It looks like he's taking advantage of the fact that there is a law and that he is technically allowed to do this to help himself. That's the reality of this, right? That's the reality, I think, because I don't know. I wasn't in the man's head. So it's either one of two things. He's taking advantage of it by nibbling around the edges. Or number two, he sees this coming up and he, you know, whatever happened here, because they bite him on every single thing he does. Maybe it's time to bite back. Isn't that what we're all saying? Aren't all of us screaming, you know, where is the Barr investigation? Let's get back at these people who did these illegal things to us, to our country. Aren't we all screaming that? We're screaming that every day. Well, here's the guy in the White House who's being victimized by that nonsense. And he has a chance to do something, to say something, to get it moving. And he did. Now, you can argue all you want about it, but it seems pretty clear to me that he has the authority to do this, to ask this question. He didn't ask it the way Biden asked it. He didn't hold the money over their head. What he said was, hey, could you look into this and see what happened here? You know, so what does that mean, see what happened here? Does that mean, why was the prosecutor fired? Was it because of the push that Biden gave? Was it because of the concern they wouldn't have gotten the money, and therefore they did it, which would be extortion, right? Is that what happened? You tell the president, and he says, hey, talk to Barr, the attorney general, because the attorney general's in charge of investigations. You know, so if somebody on your side could reach out to him and let us know what happened here, we'd be interested. That's what he said. He has every right to ask that question. Because someone's running for president, does that mean they are immune to any investigations? Well, that certainly didn't work out for Trump, did it? He was running for president, and they were investigating him from day one for nothing. They made up things about him to say that were lies. They took our entire justice system and twisted it into a knot to go after this man, whether you like him or not. That is un-American. That is inappropriate. And if they had done that to Obama, I would have been just as upset, because that bastardizes our entire system of freedom, liberty, and justice. That's why I'm upset. And I think we're all frustrated, because we're not seeing the good guys doing anything to help ourselves. Hello, Republicans. I said this already, and I'm going to say it again. Where are the hearings? Where are Republican hearings? Calling these people up, throwing subpoenas at them every minute. You know, we better start calling our representatives. We better start letter writing campaigns, and we better maybe get a march together and go down there to Washington and demand that our representatives do the right thing. Or maybe we should primary everybody who doesn't stand up and do the right thing. Well, there you go. You got me all wound up now. I'll be back in a minute with round three of Chasing Justice, and we can keep this party going.
The question I always get asked is, where do I get the energy from? Well, keeping up with Malcolm Out Loud is no easy task, friends, even for Malcolm. Well, you may know that I've personally been taking Healthy Cell for some time now. Well, the great news is Healthy Cell has a new type of natural supplement called the Nutrition Gel. So no more hard-to-swallow pills. The good-tasting gel can be mixed into smoothies, yogurt, or water. These gels provide maximum absorption of essential nutrients, and it's healthy for our gut, not abrasive like pills can be. You know, it's time for all of us to go pill-free. And you can try it with a free 2-day supply. Just cover $2.95 shipping, and the company, Healthy Cell, will cover the cost of the product. Go to healthycell.com/outloud, or simply click the Healthy Cell logo at the top of AmericaOutloud.com.
Hello, everybody, and this is Chasing Justice. I'm your host, Lieutenant Joe Pangaro, and this is round three. You know, these rounds go fast, don't they? The show goes really, really fast, especially when I get on a little bit of a tirade. And I appreciate all of you giving me the opportunity to get on a tirade and let it go. If you have something to say about something I've said, I invite you to reach out to me at jpangaro@americaoutloud.com. You can certainly reach out at jpangaro@americaoutloud.com. I love to get emails from you. I try to answer all the emails that I get. You can also follow me on Twitter, @PangaroGlobal, and we can tweet back and forth, which is kind of a silly-sounding thing, isn't it? We're going to tweet at each other, but obviously social media is the way of the world. So you can reach out to me in either one of those two locations. You can take a look at my website, let me get the address here. TrueSecurityDesign.com. Sorry, TrueSecurityDesign.com. Go take a look. If you need any help, you have any questions, not everything has a fee to it. You know, if you call up and say, hey, Lieutenant Joe, my kid's school is doing this. What do you think? I'll give you my opinion. Because you know what? Keeping people safe is really the most important thing. We have a saying at True Security Design when it comes to the safety and security of your kids and your teachers and your staff and all those people that are in your schools. What we say is no child should ever be afraid to go to school and no parent should ever fear that their child won't come home. And that is our guiding philosophy at True Security Design. How do we train your staff and students to respond to violence, to recognize violence before it happens, how to recognize potentially dangerous people and students so you can intervene and keep everybody safe, and then how do we respond if violence does erupt in your school building? How do your kids respond? How does your staff respond? And we also train law enforcement officers. We train our police officers in all kinds of law enforcement related topics. So if we could ever do anything for you, you know, truesecuritydesign.com. Or you can reach out any other way and ask Lieutenant Joe a question. I always enjoy answering questions. Okay, so a couple of things I want to finish up our thoughts on here. The Mueller investigation was a dud. It came out, you know, with nothing. This whole impeachment situation. Now, I think if we look, we see that they can't seem to get enough wheels going. They are looking for anything. We all know they've been saying since, actually, before the president was actually elected, that he should be impeached if he gets elected. And the day after he was elected, it immediately called for an impeachment. What they were doing was searching for anything and everything that they could try and throw up against the wall and see what would stick, and then try and get rid of him. Because Donald Trump is unique in the world of politics, in that a lot of the things that would have destroyed many other candidates, where they would have jumped out of the race initially, they would have backed down, they would have went away, didn't work with him. You know, didn't work with him at all. He didn't wilt and fold. He fought back. You know, even some of the things that were embarrassing, you know, paying off certain female acquaintances. You know, and that's another thing. They're looking at that. There's a whole thing on this Stormy Daniels. Did he pay her money? Well, that happens all the time. People pay money. They pay money to make nuisance suits go away. They pay money when people have had a relationship and it went bad and they don't want them talking about it. They pay the money and there's a gag order put on it. You take this money and you agree to go away and keep your mouth shut. Now, that doesn't mean the person who paid the money is a bad person. It just means they got involved in something. Then they don't want it out there because people will make a big deal out of it. Now, do I think that, you know, dating prostitutes and dating porn stars when you're married or in relationships is a good idea? No, I do not. I do not think that's a good idea at all. And that's something for a husband and wife to figure out between themselves. And if somebody pays one of these people to go away and they take the money and go away, that's between them. You know, to bring this up and say, you know, Trump is bad, Trump is evil, we have to hear all the facts of this case. They're just looking for another thing to throw at the guy. And they don't seem to quite get the appeal of Donald Trump. Because I think all of us out here who support him, we support him because he's giving voice to what we want and what we need. We want a secure border. He's the only one that came out and said he would secure the border. The rest of them talk nonsense. They've been voting on secure borders for 30 years. They've been allocating the money and doing nothing. Trump comes out and says, I'm going to seal that border up. And we cheered. Then they said, well, he said something dirty in a off-mic moment with a talk show host that was kind of nasty. He can't be the president. All these presidents say things that we would find really uncomfortable or nasty in their private lives. Did you ever say anything stupid or off color or inappropriate when you were talking with your friends? I think everybody has, okay? Everybody has. It's called, you know, private conversation. Doesn't make it right, but you know what? We do it. When it happens to get recorded, they demand, oh, that's it. He's got to go because he said so. Oh, he's going to do this and do that. When you listen to what he actually said, he was talking about his experience being a rich and famous guy and how people react to him. Don't we all kind of believe that that's probably really what happens in lots of cases? Now, to reach out and touch anyone who does not want to be touched is a crime. And that's something that, if it was a crime, it should have been investigated as a crime. But obviously it wasn't. He was talking about experiences in general in that tape. And I don't want to devoid onto that tape, but we have to go back to the beginning of this to understand, you know, no matter what they threw at this guy, it didn't work. It didn't slow him down. He fought back at it. Because you know what? In his world, and I think in a lot of people's world that have lots of resources, there's lawsuits like this all the time. You know, it's a funny question. Somebody asked me one time, well, why is it that these billionaires and millionaire guys all have these girlfriends and women on the side and this? And we all don't. We all know the answer, don't we? When you got millions and billions of dollars, you have more opportunity than, you know, a regular guy just working every day. Okay, if you're going to work every single day, you're paying the bills, you're not going to these cocktail parties with all of these people that are there that are throwing themselves at you and want to come after you. That's not what happens in a regular person's life. But in somebody who's in that kind of a world, that's very, very common. And many of these men indulge in things that they have opportunity to indulge in. Doesn't make it right, but they do it. And sometimes, they don't want to get in trouble. So they pay somebody to go away. Here's some money. Please go away. Okay, so we can argue about whether that's right or wrong, but it's not illegal. It happens in business deals all the time. Did you ever go and work for a company and they have you sign a non-disclosure, non-compete act where you can't talk about anything you saw in the company after you leave or you'll be sued? You can't compete against them if you leave and start your business very similar to theirs? Well, that doesn't seem fair, does it? Well, it's a contract. You're agreeing to something. You signed it, you took the money, you took the job, whatever, and that's how it goes. So having these people, these committees that are looking at anything and everything for Trump, you know, going back demanding, 8 years of his taxes returns, because we're going to find in there that he really did business with these people. He's not doing business with them. He's told you what he did or didn't do with them. There, people would have come forward and said, oh, we this building right here, he's my partner, and he owned it here in Red Square. He doesn't have those connections. But they wanted to make it up, and we know they made all that up. So this entire thing that we see going after him is one attack after another, and none of them seem to stick. And you can see our friends on the left getting so frustrated that they just can't stand themselves. You know, we're frustrated that they won't tell the truth, and they're frustrated that their lies and the things that they're making up are not working, that we are not giving into it. And they keep saying, Trump is so bad. Then they turn it around on us. You know, Trump is so bad that if you still agree with him after knowing this, then you're a bad person. Right? So they're trying to turn that around to people and twist how they see things and how they believe. Uh-oh, is that true? I mean, if I still support this guy, am I now a reprobate? Oh my gosh, I won't support him. They cannot turn his supporters off from him because we did not elect a guy to be man of the year. We elected a guy that we wanted to do what we needed done in our country. We wanted someone to close the border, build up the military, cut the taxes, put good, decent judges on the bench, right? Show pride in America. That's what we wanted. And those are all the things that Donald Trump does well. Build the economy so people can get jobs. They can change jobs. They can step up in their life. They can do different things. Donald Trump did all of that. Our friends on the left, what they offer is complete opposite of that. They're offering open borders. So I don't care which one of them runs for president. If they're talking about open borders, I'm not in favor of that. We can't just have everybody come pouring in here. We have to regulate how people come and go. If you don't have a border, you don't have a country. And I don't hate anybody. Come here legally. Join us. Come on to the party. But do it legally. That's all I'm saying. And Trump said, we're going to do that. So people agree with him. Our friends on the left also want to raise the taxes on everybody. Well, we know what happens when you raise taxes, right? You stymie the economy. You raise taxes and you shut down. You add regulation. You crush businesses. Small businesses are the backbone of our American economy. You know, these big multi gigantic corporations hire lots of people, but it's the millions and millions of small businesses that employ most of us. And if you regulate them to death so that they can't function, they can't make a profit, you're going to shut them down. That shuts down the economy. Then people are out of work. Then people are miserable. Then they can't buy houses. They can't buy cars. They can't buy a boat if that's what they want. All of that drives the economy. And Trump wants to drive the economy forward. So we agree with him. Did he say something nasty and vulgar? Yes, he does sometimes. Does he say things off the cuff that you say, well, I don't know how I could defend that. That was a pretty stupid thing to say. Of course he does. Because he has no filter and he just speaks like a regular person. Now, if Lieutenant Joe was president, would I watch my tongue a little bit more? I probably would. Because that's not how I operate out in public. But Donald Trump doesn't. He lets it fly. If he's got something to say, it goes from his head to his mouth and out it comes. Right? And that's how his personality works. But we didn't vote for a personality. Like I said, we didn't vote for man of the year. We didn't vote for a super dynamic, great speaker, elegant speaker. I could care less how elegant of a speaker you are if you drive the economy into the ground and destroy it. If you weaken our military so we're at vulnerability points around the world. I don't want that. You want to open the borders and let everybody just come pouring in here. I don't want that. So I don't care which one of the Democrat candidates, no matter how likable they might be, is running for president. If these are the things they're offering, I don't want them. So I have to look and say, well, who's offering me the things I do want? Well, it's this guy over here, Donald Trump. So that's who I'm going to vote for. Not for man of the year, for president, to do the things that I want done in my country. And since we voted for him, that's exactly what he's been doing. And our friends on the left and the media and all of these people just do not seem to understand that that's what it is. They can try and shame us all they want. That, did you hear what he said? How can you stand for that? I don't stand for it. I don't like what he said. But he's not going to crush the economy. He's not going to weaken the military. He's not going to open the borders. He's not going to tax everyone to death. I get to live my life then. I get to have some things, do some things with my family, provide for education, food, right? Make sure we have a good life here. If I go the other way, I'm outraged. So I turn around and say, okay, I'm going to vote for that Democrat because I'm outraged at what that man said. And then they crush the economy. They regulate the businesses to death. I get out of work or I get less work. I don't have the money to send my kids to college. Are you out of your mind? Absolutely not. And this is what they do not understand. It's what they're offering. How many times have I said here, Barack Obama seemed like a nice enough guy. He seemed like a really good father. He seemed like a guy, you know, like they used to say, you could sit and have a beer with the guy. He seemed like a nice guy. All right? But his policies were horrible. Had nothing to do with his race. Had nothing to do where he came from. Had nothing to do with his background. I could care less about any of that. What was he going to do to me and my family? Well, his policies were going to hurt us, as it obviously did. Okay? Hurt the country. Slowed everything down. That's what we look at, and that's what these people don't get. And if you're listening, and I know a lot of my friends on the left are listening, because I get your emails and I hear from you. I know you're listening. That's what we like about Donald Trump. You know, he's a funny guy. He says some funny things. You know, he's brazen. He's out. He's all of that stuff that you guys hate. But he's also doing a great job as president. Don't you get that? You know, if you were to turn off the news every day, of course, not America Out Loud. But if you turn off the news and you didn't listen to any of this nonsense going on, how would your life be? Well, chances are you got a job or a new job or a better job or a pay raise. Chances are your taxes went down. Chances are the regulation on the business you work for or you own disappeared. Chances are the economy is booming where you are. And you're able to do things that you want and have more resources and help your family and help your friends, help your church, do all these kind of things without a word going on of who's doing it. If you didn't know any of that news thing that was going on, that's what would be happening. And that's all good stuff, right? If a Democrat takes over and they install the policies that they have said they're going to install and you didn't listen to the news, you didn't know who was in the White House, you didn't care, you would feel the difference. You would see businesses closing. You would see people getting laid off. You would see the economy slowing down. How many times can I say this? This is what it's all about. This is why people vote for Donald Trump, right? And until the media and everybody else gets on board with that, they can scream, holler, cry, stamp their feet, try and make us feel bad, argue with us, call us all kinds of names, do what you want. We're still going to go in there and pull that lever for Donald Trump. And I think a lot of people who won't come out and say they're going to do it are going to go in and do it just like the last time. Because people don't want to be abused. They don't want to have eggs thrown at their house. They don't want their car's tires slashed and their car's keyed because they got a Trump bumper sticker. They don't answer questions in public. They don't support Trump. They don't wear the red hat. They would love to wear the red hat, but they don't want to wear the red hat because they don't want it to get knocked off their head and maybe get punched or beaten by these idiots out in the street that do this stuff to Trump supporters. So that's why you don't see this everyday swell of Trump support. You see nonsense. You see the polls that show him at 37, 42, 43, 45, 42, whatever, back and forth. That he's just not gaining traction. Because people aren't answering honestly because they don't want to get involved in the nonsense that goes along with showing your support for this president because the people on the left, the media, and everybody else have lost their minds. They attack people, right? They say things about you. They write articles about you. They do stories about you. Your company might get nervous and fire you. Right? There's a lot going on that's not fair. It's not right. It's not just. But it is what it is. So I think that's pretty much sums up where I think we're going here. You know, unless, of course, Trump did something really illegal, really rotten, then I'll tell you, I'm still not going to vote for a Democrat because I still don't want what they're going to offer. But if this guy Trump did something wrong, then, you know, you remove him and you get the next Republican to come along. Mike Pence is a pretty good guy. I actually like Mike Pence. I don't know a lot about him other than what I've heard. But, you know, he seems like a decent enough man. We'll find out in time. But that's my point. You know, no matter what they bring along, no matter what they say and do, I'm not going to vote to destroy my own life and my country because a guy says something vulgar or something that's inarticulate. That's not how it works. You vote for your life and your family. What goes on in Washington really has little to do with us unless they're hurting us. Currently, they're not hurting us. The media are hurting us by bombarding us with this nonsense day and night and trying to ruin the economy to prove a point, thinking that we're going to vote for a Democrat because then we'll all need things. We'll put our hands out and they'll put something in it. Is that what you want? It's not what I want. I want a great America where everybody can be like in that room I described. At the VIPS awards dinner, everybody got along. Everybody was respectful to each other. Everybody was showing support for each other. It was a wonderful experience. And America be like that too. We just have to do the right thing. And we have to stand up and make our voices heard. So until we meet again, my friends, remember, be a part of the solution, not a part of the problem. This is Lieutenant Joe. And remember, keep listening to AmericaOutloud.com. And I'll see you soon here on Chasing Justice.